All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, and here we are again for another awesome Sunday that the Lord has blessed us with. I'm not sure about you, friend, but I am glad to be saved. I'm glad to be here at church. I want to thank God for those of you who have been praying for me during this time. As you guys know, the missus is still away in Florida and attending to her friend. So I told her today that we will continue to pray for her friend as she's recovering from her operation she had over there. And so that's been a huge blessing that my wife has been able to attend to her need and she's been able to meet her need. So that's been a very, very awesome blessing. So I want to thank God for those of you who have been encouraging me and asking how I'm doing. That really means a lot. I was sharing with my wife the other day on the phone. I said, the little flock here is loving on the brother here, man, and that bless her heart. So I want to thank God for those of you that are caring. All right, well, would you do me a favor? Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 9. Mark, the 9th chapter, just a general in love, friendly message for the Sunday school hour. I'm very excited to begin today's service with a new series we're going to do of some basic Christian doctrines, and we're going to do that for the next couple of weeks to maybe months until we are ready to start our next verse-by-verse study through the Word of God book. And the next book that we're going to study together as a church is the book of Galatians. And the reason why we're going to study the book of Galatians is because it really ties into the book of Romans of what we just finished as a church going verse-by-verse. And it continues, if you will, in that thought, that principle, that heart, and that teaching. So it's just going to continue to explain, elaborate, and then also confirm what we already learned in Romans as we laid the foundation. And it'll continue to add to our faith and knowledge. So from here until then, we're just going to do some great topical series on Christian basic doctrines. And today's Sunday service, when we get there, the first of that is Christian dress. We're going to talk about that. And so we'll when we get there, I'll explain to those who come later on, you know, that hard and the good that's going to come out of that. Just learning after we become Christians, you know, what are some basic things that we should begin to start changing in our life? Speech, dress, you know, how do I spend my money, social time? So we're just going to go through some basic stuff so that way we can remind our church, because as you guys know, some of our members here are still young in the faith, babes in the faith, so now it'll be good to kind of just pour into them, not necessarily going through a Bible book, although that's good. It's just let's kind of feed our church again with some basic milk, and then once they kind of grow up a little bit there, all right, now let's get back into a more of a heavier diet, if that makes sense. Okay, so Mark chapter 9, and today's Sunday school message is titled, Don't Be Afraid to Ask the Master. Don't be afraid to ask the master. And the reason why I've titled that is you're going to see in a few minutes here as we continue and read here in the book of Mark, the disciples were afraid to ask Jesus a question. And they were afraid to ask him a question because of a couple of things that we're going to discover today. But he had just told them a teaching concerning what we acknowledge as the gospel. So read with me, if you will, Mark chapter 9, verse 31. Let's read through the verses first, and then we will open up in a word of prayer. The Bible says, For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. So, friends, that is the gospel. That's how your Savior defined it. It is a fulfillment of everything God already promised in the Old Testament scriptures. Remember, we learned that in our Romans study. But verse 32, look at what happens here. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Okay, very interesting. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves, and here it is, who should be the greatest? Ooh, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. I thank you for today's lesson. I pray that the Holy Spirit would take the word of God today, put it in our hearts. Please protect us from the devil, the devils, these spiritual forces that we fight in heavenly places that are unseen, that are very real. As your Bible tells us, God, help us to have a heart to receive the word of God today for the Sunday school and service, Lord, as we trust you and we know as your children, you desire for us to grow in grace and in knowledge. So Lord, would you do that today? Meet with us now and help us to gain an example. First, beginning with me, Lord, I need help. I always want to continue to perfect myself and better myself, Lord. And then for the rest of our members here, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at this once again. Let's just kind of walk through it. By this time, the Lord Jesus has been going from various place to place, and he's taught certain things that the disciples did not fully comprehend, as we just saw that, right? Let's read again verse number 31. Jesus explains to them the gospel. He states to them what is about to take place in a future setting, which we all know, his eventual betrayal by Judas, his eventual trial by the Jews, his eventual crucifixion by the Romans. And according to the Holy Ghost in verse 32, the disciples did not understand that saying and were afraid to ask him. And so now look at this. As we read from verse 32, you would think naturally, imagine if you were there, you were asking yourself, man, what is he talking about? We've been following our teacher for a year or two now, and he's beginning to state that he's going to die or he's going to be, you know, delivered. What does he mean? You would think naturally that maybe that's what they're going to talk about for a couple of days. Maybe that's what eventually one of them would be bold enough to ask him. But no, church, what do we learn about these natural men, just like many of us today in application? You may not understand a doctrine. You may not understand a teaching. But rather than going to the master to ask him, naturally, those of us in the flesh just go to another man. We go to another church, or perhaps we go to a commentary and we ask ourselves to show ourselves are proved before one another in the area of men, but rather than going to the master. Now, I'm not talking about the doctrinal disputes on, you know, unique things. What I'm just talking about here in context is they began to argue who's the greatest, you understand? So now that's what the direction we're going to be heading. So look at verse 33. When he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? So now if you can imagine, church, they are leaving one area. They're all walking together, you know, as a group to Capernaum. And on their way, they began to argue among themselves. Notice, where's Jesus? Well, he probably was a little ahead. But the master's over there. They could ask him. They didn't ask the master. Who did they ask? They asked themselves. They began to argue among themselves. They began to dispute among themselves, and that's today's lesson. And what I'm trying to get across to you this afternoon is don't be afraid to ask the master. He has the answer right here. It's natural for us to just confide and trust in a man. And again, I understand. I understand that naturally it seems faster to say, okay, God, would you clarify an answer for me through this one guy right over here? Or this one girl over here, or perhaps this group over here, and maybe that's, you know, you're okay with that. But we have his word, won't you agree? And the Holy Ghost is in us, won't you agree? So if I just go straight to the master, wouldn't he just tell me the answer to my question or perhaps something I've been thinking? He will. But the question is, are you afraid to go to the master? So let's read again. They were arguing and they were disputing among themselves something. Look at verse 34. They held their peace. What does that mean? Well, they kept quiet. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves, and I heard it as church, who should be the greatest? That's a problem within all Christians around the earth. At some point in time in our life, it's going to be natural within ourselves, as we're going to learn from the Sunday service, that our heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? The heart of man is always going to have some sort of evil or wicked imagination that will begin to create something in there that originated from itself without the master or without God, if you will. It just started here. And then because there's a sinner next to me who has the same sin in him and the same sin in her, before you know it, we're all arguing among ourselves about certain things that the master has not taught, or perhaps because we don't want to go to him, we don't want to go to the word, perhaps we begin to argue amongst ourselves, and then before you know it, divide amongst ourselves because, well, this guy said, therefore I'm going to follow his saying, right? Or this girl over here, she said this, I'm going to follow her saying. You understand what I'm saying? But who should we go to? Who do you think they should have gone to, church, before we continue? Should they have just talked to the Lord and said, hey, Lord, we have a question for you? But did they do that? No. Now let's read. Verse 35, he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first. Now again, he's talking to disciples. The same shall be last of all, and here it is, servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. I want you to do your best, church, to put yourself back in this particular context, if you will, and I know we're not there, and I know we're not a disciple there, obviously 2,000 years ago, but just for today's application, try your best to be right there. Imagine you're one of these disciples and you're arguing with your friends. I'm the greatest, you say. And then you look over here to Brother Carlos standing next to you. No, I'm the greatest. And then you look over here to Brother Peter. No, I'm the greatest. And then John, et cetera. We're all arguing with each other. I got it right. You don't have as much as I have. You don't have as much as I have. But we're afraid to go to who? The master. He's right over there. Why don't we just ask him? So then how does the master reckon with them? Because they needed to see something. And we today, amen, we have the Bible, it's recorded. We all need to see something that he is going to teach us about humility and about being a servant. If we want to be great in the eyes of God, then we need to follow God's command. He tells them here, look, guys, if any man desires to be first, so you want to be chief? You want to be the leader? You want to be the one that people come to when they have a question, when they have a prayer, when they have a need? You want to be that on the spotlight, if you want your name to be known? Well, here's what you need to do first. Actually, you need to be last. Right? So that's kind of the opposite, right? I want to be first. I want to be the guy on top. But Jesus says, no, as a matter of fact, you need to be the last. You need to be the least. He says in verse 35, you need to be the servant of all. It kind of goes contrary, right? Some men have it within their ideal, not all, but some men have it in their ideal that if I go to this particular Bible college and I graduate from this guy's name, I'm going to, you know, get money sponsored to start a church. And then once I got money sponsored, I get a building, we get some people and they're going to begin to look at me and they're going to say, wow, look at that guy. I have an office over here. I have a car perhaps. And before you know it, I feel like as if I need to be acknowledged all the time because look at me, look at my great works. If you don't call me pastor, perhaps, hey, you're not really respecting the man of God title. No, 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 no. Actually, quite the opposite. Jesus said, if you want to be first, you need to be the servant of all. So what does he do to use as an illustration to teach them an example to bring humility? Verse 36, he took a child. He set him in the midst of them. When he had taken him in his arms, notice the embrace, if you will, of the Savior. He grabbed this little boy and he hugged on him. He embraced him. What do you think that's teaching these men? Hey, y'all, you guys got some pride. You see what I'm doing with this little boy? Y'all just need to love on this little guy. He is now demonstrating physically a spiritual lesson that he wants for them to take. Are you guys understanding that so far? He says, look, whosoever receiveth one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So right as he's about to teach these men a lesson on humility about the leadership position or, you know, trying to be first, look at the heart as they continue. John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. John, don't you hear what he's trying to teach you? Or why are you just totally beginning to go off on another tangent about us, the men over here, and all of a sudden this child, and I, you know, the master is trying to use the example. Why are you start talking about this guy who doesn't follow you and you're trying to stop him from serving God? You understand the heart now. Jesus said, forbid him not. Whoa, wait a second. Who's the master again, church? Jesus. Who are the disciples? Well, John, in this case, Peter. And yes, these are his core. This is these guys, you know, they're following him. They're listening to his doctrine. They've observed the master feed the thousands. I mean, if there's anybody who has a little bit of authority to at least sort of represent this rabbi, this teacher. I mean, it should definitely be these guys, but look at what the master said. Forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Notice, John, it's not about you. It's not about you, Peter. It's not about you, James. It's not about you, Nathaniel, over here. It's not about you over there. It's about me. So what should John have done? He should have taken the eyes off of himself and put it back on who? The master. He said in verse 40, for he that is not against us is on our part. So notice, they're not the only ones serving the master. They're not the only ones that were doing things that the master approved. But because they were not a part of the circle, if you will, they weren't a part of the crew, they weren't a part of who they approved among themselves, they thought maybe Jesus was not going to approve them. But no, actually, they were wrong. Before we go to the other verse, allow me to continue to give you this particular versage, verse 41. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. If thy hand offend thee, again, he's talking to them individually, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. And he repeats the same versage in verse number 48. Verse 49, for every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and look at what the master says in verse 50. Have peace one with another. In other words, John, you have a problem. Disciples, you guys have some offenses among yourselves, and it's with you as the individual. It's not with me. It's amongst yourselves. Now, again, he is not physically telling them, start cutting your hands off. He is spiritually telling them a truth about the offense that comes from within. Allow me now to take you to one more portion of scripture before we close today's Sunday school lesson about the servant of all. We're talking about now in context, not being afraid to go to the master, okay? Let's go now to the book of Luke, I believe it was, the cross-reference. Let's see here. There's two, I believe. There's one in Luke, and then there's one in another portion of Luke. Where is that one? I may just need to quickly search the search room. But let's go quickly to Luke 9, and then if not, then it may be in Matthew's gospel. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so Matthew 20. We'll go to Matthew 20 afterwards. Oh, Luke 9 here. Let's go up here in verse number 45. So again, the disciples are amazed. They've already observed some great things, as you guys can see in verse 43 from Luke's narrative. The disciples have seen a lot of things that Jesus had done. But again, they've also heard a lot of things that Jesus has taught, you can see in verse 44. But in verse 45, they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Again, they're afraid. But look at how quickly their fear turned into arguments. Again, look at, that's my point today. Verse 46, then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the what? Thought of their heart. Amen. You guys have been hearing that many, many times behind this pulpit. He took a child and set him by him. So now he knows what they need to see in order for them to be reproved or corrected, if you will, of their self-perception. They needed to learn, wait a second, it's not about how you view yourself. It's not about how you approve yourself. Look at this kid. Look at this child. I'm going to teach you guys a lesson. And again, he repeats more or less the same thing that we stated in Mark chapter 9. He says, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Because a child, they're not necessarily as important, if you will, as far as the perceiving of knowledge and perhaps experience, and therefore we're not really going to ask a child opinion, if you will. They're still growing, they're still learning. They don't have as much of a preeminence amongst adults, you understand? But wait a second, that child actually has a very, very important role, because the child is least. That's the same mindset we need to have when serving God and serving each other. And then again, you guys, we already rehearsed about how John answered about the fellow who didn't follow them, and the Lord said, forbid him not. Last one, let's go to Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20. And let's go now here in Matthew chapter 20 to verse number 24. Well, actually, let's get some more context. Let's go back to verse 20. Because at this particular story narrative, we have now the involvement of a mother. So now we have the disciples and their family. And sometimes, yes, family, discipleship, it's going to intermingle. It's going to mix in as it pertains to, you know, relationship with God and order of things, if you will. So here we have the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. So here you have John and James, if I'm not mistaken. It's their mother. And so she's just going to ask him a question about her boys. He said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. Who do you think? In other words, hey, mama's going to do her role now, right? She's going to go and talk on behalf because, you know, the boys are, you know, they're a little shy. Let me go talk to them, boys. You sit here. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. He say unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved within the nation against the two brethren. So again, who do they keep looking to outside of the master? Themselves. The attention is on ourselves. It's on our approval. It's, oh man, they went against what we wanted. Hence, they must not be right with God, etc. And so look at how the disciples began to be angry with the two brothers just because they asked a question. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Okay, here's the master. He's now going to teach the disciples how they need to act and conduct themselves in one another's presence. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. So what's another word for servant? Minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So church, what I want to close with you today on this Sunday school lesson. It's not about me. And it's not about you. It's not about me receiving accolades and praises. Oh, good job, Brother Carlos. Man, you should get all the respect and authority. No. It's about the master. What happens is pride starts to begin to think of itself and originate thoughts in my heart. And before you know it, because I don't get a hold of that pride in me, what could come out is, hey, if you don't do that, if you don't obey me, if you don't follow my command, you're not right with God. And I begin to accuse you, and I begin to try to lord over your life as he warned them, hey, you're not like those Gentiles that have dominion over the other Gentiles. You're not like those that exercise authority upon men as if you're going to control everything in their life. No. All I can do is be an example to you. All I can do is teach you, but ultimately it's your free will. All I can do is provoke you, but I cannot lord over you. I cannot threat you with any spiritual authority that God has given me and begin to seduce you. No. As a matter of fact, if I want to be the greatest, that's what Jesus said. We can. Praise God for that. It's okay to strive to be great in the eyes of God, but look at how he says, how he defines what greatness is in his kingdom. He says in verse 26, Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. So I'm going to attend to your needs, because that's what a minister does, right? And verse 27, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your what? Servant. John, it's not about you. But Lord, he wasn't following us. Hey, forbid him not. Me, I am the attention. Peter, James, all these other fellows, why are you arguing about who's the greatest among you? If you want to be great in my eyes, you need to be the servant of each other. You need to minister to each other, meet one another's needs, because I'm the master. There's only one room for one master in the local church, amen, and that's Jesus Christ. I am just simply the vessel to oversee on the behalf of his authority. But if he's the head of the church, and if every pastor in every church is supposed to be a reflection of that, the first thing that they ought to see is the bend the knee to be, hey, how can I serve you? How can I minister to your needs? Why? Because it's not about me. The attention is not about, oh, that guy's church over there. No, it's about Jesus Christ, me being a minister, me meeting your needs, me serving you the best I can with the ability as God has given. And then who's the example, church? Jesus himself. Look at verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. How about that? So we'll stop there for today's Sunday school lesson. Again, I hope that encourages you. I hope that reminds you of the heart that all Christians are to carry. Not just the pastoral role, not just the deacon role or the leadership role, but all of us. If we want to be great in the eyes of God, he defined it for us. You want to be chief? You want to be the leader? You better start by putting yourself a little bit more lower than those who you are striving to be above. And as they see that, they're going to follow. And not only that, but as God sees that, he is going to honor. And so as you know, church, I've done my best thus far to minister to your needs spiritually, physically when I can, to serve you spiritually and physically when I can, to minister to you, because that is the example. You don't necessarily have to ignore, oh, bro, Pastor Carl is such a, no. Hey, I'm a brother in Christ. I'm just here to assist and to administer the authority as God so graciously has bestowed upon me and to continue to live it out. But notice, if I want to be great, I got to be the servant. If you want to be great, you got to be servant. And if God wants to bless our church and honor us with that heart, man, he will. Amen. Anybody have any questions, comments from today's Sunday school lesson? How to be great in the eyes of God. All right, church, well, praise the Lord. I hope that ministered to your spirit. We're going to go ahead and take a 15-minute break and get ready for the Sunday service. All right, the Lord bless.